Do you remember in the fairy tale how the wicked witch's spell changed the handsome prince to a toad? Through the power of her potion, she handed him a notion. He was lower than the dirt in the road.
This is not green tea. I don't know what happened. Like, does green tea turn into, like, black tea if you leave it in the teapot too long? Because that's what I did, sort of.
I have no clue how tea ages, how it works.
I don't know. Somebody send us in your comments and say, and explain tea, how tea works to me.
How do tea work?
How does tea work?
Question mark.
So, we watched the first two episodes of Fraggle Rock. I almost said Frog Kissin'. That's not right. Fraggle Rock.
Tough Pigs, Frog Kissin', Fraggle Rock. What's the difference? They're all the same thing.
No, when you said Tough Pigs, all right, say Tough Pigs.
Tough Pigs.
Ooh, that's what I thought of. Swear to God. When you said Tough Pigs, like, I was like, oh, I want to do the DuckTales.
DuckTales?
Like DuckTales, yeah.
Tough
Pigs. I don't know.
Woo.
Woo.
Tough Pigs. Woo.
Well, like, think of, like, better words for that.
Well, that's there were no words that I just sang except for the words Tough Pigs.
I know. I mean, there were words to DuckTales.
Oh, yeah, okay? No, I know. I realize that. I just don't remember any of the other words for DuckTales besides the words DuckTales.
Now I want to try to remember the words of DuckTales. Race cars. Wait, no. Something, I don't know. Something, something aeroplanes here in Duckburg. Something, something. I don't know. Okay. I don't remember any of them. I thought I knew them. Like, I was thinking of it the other day. And I thought I remembered it.
I listened to the theme song the other day, and I don't remember any of it, except the tune, because it's super catchy.
Oh, you know what? I was thinking about it because I was listening to Rob Paulsen's podcast, and they were talking about the Disney Afternoon deal, and that the person that was in charge of, you know, the theme songs or whatever, they said, yeah, the song's good, but take out the ooh part. Nobody's gonna like that. And that's, like, the thing that everybody remembers. So, speaking of, like, theme songs and stuff, how about that Fraggle Rock theme song, right?
Man, that Fraggle Rock theme song. So catchy.
Everybody... Alright, you said that really sarcastic.
It did come off sarcastic. It is a really catchy song.
It is, though.
It's jamming.
It is. Everybody loves it.
The guitar pick at the start.
Yeah. Dun, 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 and how it dun, tunnels dun, in there. Dun, 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 but it's funny because you can, like, super tell, like, oh, blue screen or black screen or whatever they used back then. Or green screen.
Yeah.
But you can, like, you can super tell.
We'll talk more about this, but, like, the parts in the episodes where they used green screen, I was like, man, that is really obvious, and you can tell because of Wimley's hair.
Yeah, his hair's purple suddenly.
It's, like, green on the edges, and you're like, I wonder why this could be.
Yeah.
Gorg scene.
Technology. I mean, that's kind of something I want to talk about, the technology in the show. Is crazy. Like, I did make notes, and they're not many, but I did make some notes.
I took notes. Most of my notes are basically just like, Booper has the best lines!
It's true, he does. And for when we first see Doozers, these are my notes. All capital letters. Doozers! Fazz.
Fazz?
Fazz Fazakis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, because he did they're freaking... robotics.
Oh, I know.
Those are Doozers.
I know.
That's how... Somebody asked me how Doozers work the other day, or, like, several months ago. I don't remember. And I was, like, so excited. Oh, let me explain you something. You won't believe it. 1983. Picture it. Sicily, 1983.
I mean, do we want to jump off with technology for talking about Fraggle Rock?
Well, no, we don't have to. I'm just saying. That was a...
Okay, we can come back.
That's part of the show.
We can come back to it, because there's definitely a lot to talk about on that subject.
Yeah, we're going to talk about sort of the show in general, but these two episodes in particular as well.
Yeah, so basically Laura and I watched the first two episodes of Fraggle Rock, and we thought that we would talk about it. And, yeah, Laura...
And record it, you know, for this thing that we do sometimes.
Yeah, this podcast thing that we do occasionally.
Sometimes.
Yeah. When was the last time you watched Fraggle Rock?
I don't know. Probably when I got the whole series set from Amazon. That was probably 5 years ago.
That's probably about how long it's been since I watched it, because I watched it when kind of like my Muppet obsession was like kind of taking off, and I had strep throat, so I was confined to my room for a week. Yeah, that was when I was 20, so that was about 5 years ago. And I've watched an episode or two here and there over the years, but I haven't like sat down and watched the whole thing, and it's been ages since I watched these two episodes.
And I had before like the seasons even came out, they had these little like volumes, so it would be like two or three episodes or something. I remember I had a VHS, which I got like in high school, and it was Scared, I think it was Scared Silly and Beginnings, but it was in that order. So for some reason, the first episode was the second episode in the VHS. I'm pretty sure it was something weird like that. So like that's kind of when like, oh yeah, Wembley's my favorite character. It was probably because of that VHS
I think I
and
read
Scared Silly. God, that was such a good episode too.
On Wikipedia that the pilot didn't get aired until like 10 episodes in.
That's weird, but I believe that.
But it's happened that happens for other TV shows, and it never makes any sense to me, but yeah, I saw that on the Muppet Wiki.
Yeah, networks are stupid. I don't know. Even HBO. I don't know. See, it's funny because I remember Fraggle Rock a lot as a kid, but we didn't really have HBO. We had like it, they would do like, oh, you get a month free to try out, and then maybe you get it. So we didn't get HBO for a long time. I think it was like whenever The Sopranos started, we suddenly got HBO, but in only in the computer room or the well, it's now it's the computer room. It was the playroom because that was where like me and Aaron with our toys, a bunch of our toys were there. So it was the playroom. So we didn't get HBO until like 97, and then all of a sudden we just randomly had HBO, but only on one television in the house. And we didn't pay for it. It was, you know, it just, it was a mistake. And then all of a sudden we had it. So that really doesn't have anything to do with anything because we didn't get Fraggle Rock. But like, cause, but I just remember Fraggle Rock a lot as a kid, even though we didn't really, I don't ever remember watching it a whole lot, except I guess when we had that month of HBO, you know, a couple times a year.
I don't think I ever watched Fraggle Rock as a kid. I distinctly remember the commercial for it. I think it was like on one of our VHSs or something, but I never watched a show or an episode of it, but I did have one of those McDonald toys.
Oh yeah, I have all of them.
I had Red in her radish car, and I think we had Wimbley. I don't know what happened to him, but I definitely have my Red that I had as a kid. It's over on my
It's
bookshelf.
Wimbley and Boober and a cucumber.
Okay, maybe I didn't have them because I don't think I had two.
Gobo's in a carrot and Moki. I forget what Moki's in. Hers had like she had like weird. I thought they were like hot. They were like hamburger buns as a kid, but that didn't really make any sense
Oh, the
because they were
wheels?
vegetables. Yeah, they were like.
Were they mushrooms?
Yeah, they were mushrooms. That, but like, I didn't know. I never saw mushrooms that look like that. So
That's fair.
I thought they were supposed to be like sesame seeds. I could literally walk over to my desk where they are. I can't see them because they're in a drawer. But that's a little bit sad that I know exactly what they were. It's like, yeah, Gobo's in a carrot. It's so weird to me. I don't know what Moki was in, but she had her own. Oh, she was in an eggplant. She had an eggplant.
Oh, that's right. I remember.
That's so weird to me that I like know I know that.
I don't think it's weird.
I should read more books or something. Should educate myself and like get rid of that information off the top of my head and get something else in there. Yeah, but I still have them, and we had them all like original, the original originally. We got all of them. I think we had two of some or whatever, but I still have them. I got too many toys.
Me too.
All right, for like the first episode, this one line the doc says, "Wonder how that old hole got in the wall." Oh well, I'm like that thing is so goddamn big. Like your dog could crawl under there and you would never see him again. That's not a red flag for you, old man. Come on.
Yeah, and like at the end of the episode, he's like, "I'll get it bored up eventually." And I'm like, "That's a huge hole."
All right, this is a guy that like tinkers around for a living and he can't throw up a few boards with all like he's got like mason jars full of nails. He's like a, you know, not technically a carpenter,
He was
with something like that. He can't, like, spend 5 minutes to prevent, you know, rabid raccoons from coming into his house and killing his dog. Come on.
We saw in episode 2 that he was Tinkerer of the Year, so obviously...
He got an award.
Obviously, he could do it.
In the second episode, he gets an award.
Like, if this was any other show besides Fraggle Rock, yeah, like, raccoons would come in and, like, wreak havoc or, like, give rabies to his dog or...
Exactly.
You know,
He could...
Mold.
See, this is
bugs.
This is what should have happened. Like, if Fraggle Rock was realistic, and obviously it is not, but if, like, Doc and Sprocket were realistic, what would have happened was Doc pulls away the, box, says, holy crap, that's a big hole, and then puts it back immediately, puts a heavy thing on top of it, and then, you know, gets a contract or something to, like, you know, just rip out that entire wall.
Oh my god.
Get, like, put some drywall up, all that, I mean, repair that whole wall, and then you would, you know, and by this time, of course, and, like, to make it, like, really dramatic, Uncle Matt has already gone, so he has no way back home.
Oh.
Why did I do that? That's terrible.
I don't know. You just made Fraggle Rock sad, which...
I did.
...is a hard thing to do, except for a couple episodes.
Yeah. I was gonna say, well, at the end, you know. and then the second episode, it gets really heavy.
It gets somewhat heavy in the second episode. I can think of an episode or two that's heavier than these two that we watched. Let's see. I'm looking at my, like... All my notes are so stupid for what I wrote down. I wrote things like, aw, Gobo's hair is so long.
Yeah, the Gobo puppet looked kind of weird to me.
It was the early, like, one. His hair gets shorter, yeah. Like, in the, what, like, fourth or fifth episode?
Well, it's not his hair. It's the shape of his face is kind of funky.
Yeah. That's true. And they still have the old Magorg. Head.
Yeah, that too. And I couldn't remember, like, what made her kind of odd. But it was, like, you know, just her early self.
Yeah. And did they update her for the second season, or was it earlier in the first season?
I don't remember. I want to say it was earlier than, well, I don't know. I could be wrong.
Yeah, he and Magorg were the only ones I really saw the difference, like, from such an early episode to, like, the later episodes.
Yeah.
I wrote, wish there was more Uncle Traveling Matt on the show.
Yeah.
Because I always really like Uncle Traveling Matt. I like the episodes where he comes back and there's a bit more of him.
Yeah, I liked, so, like, Hip Hip Hooray, the song happens. So many naked monochrome Fraggles. Like, none of them have clothes except for, like, two of them. And one of them is wearing, like, a red turtleneck. I don't know why, like, when I was a kid, I remember being really fascinated with those monochrome. If they were, like, all the same color, then that's what monochrome means, boys and girls. So if they were, like, all the same color, like, there was, like, a purple one that was in, like, the intro, I think, or, like, a pinkish one, and I'm like, what are they about? Because, like, they're the only... Like, why do they look like that?
Why do they look the way that they do?
Like, that's terrible, but... Like, yeah, okay, but I don't know, I just, and then, you know, the ones that, like, I always want to know how the ones that there's like four of them together, and they're all like pastel colors, but there's four of them together, and they all kind of, they all move in the same way, and they're all, their lip syncs is exactly the same.
Oh, I remember those ones. Yeah,
and they're always at, like, the top of things. They're, like, very, the very top of the screen.
Yeah.
So I'm like, how do those work? Is there, like, just, like, one, like, you get, like, the little Waldo thing at the bottom and you just do it? Or is it, like, are they on, like, a piece of board or something? You know, nailed to a piece of, like, not nailed, but, you know, they're, like, on one kind of rod or something so you can just move it back and forth and do the lip sync stuff. Because, like, their arms don't move or anything, so it's kind of a little bit freaky.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how that works. But I do like all the monochrome Fraggles.
It's a cool look.
Yeah, you know. I think probably needed to just, like, make a ton for that opening sequence.
Oh, yeah. Didn't, like, bother to mix and match. Because that would look even weirder, probably. So I think Lou was monochrome-ish.
Yeah.
A little bit. I like her. I like her because her name is Lou.
Lou.
She's a girl, and that's typically a boy's name.
That's true.
Well, yeah, it is. I said typically.
I wrote down my three favorite boober lines from these two episodes.
Yeah.
They were, "Don't do that, you'll bring death and pestilence."
Death and pestilence.
I will personally erect a memorial stone, and let me out, I'm claustrophobic. Like, those are three things he said in those two episodes, and I feel like that just sums up his entire character.
Exactly. I was going to say, death and pestilence, that is the best intro to that character you can do. Because that's, like,
yeah.
That's, like, literally, you know, like, that's his, like, third line or something.
That's his first, I think that's his first line. Because I wrote next to it, great boober entrance.
Yeah, well, like, he says something like, "Oh, I just learned that it's bad luck to tug your tail." And Wimbledon's like, tug
your
tail.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay, yeah, but it's just altogether, like...
Yeah, like, it's and then, great. Like, okay, well, we know who that character is.
Yeah.
And, like, Gobo, we're still kind of trying to figure out, like, okay, it's obvious he's going to be, like, the main character or something. He's the one that we're going to relate to. I think it's interesting that how, especially that he's, you know, well, I got to go out there kind of thing, you know? G-g-g-g-ghost. Like, kind of, he's, like, very scared to go out into outer space. And then he's the one that's, like, you know, this way to being an explorer kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's nice. Character development.
That's good. And we got, like, a very clear sense of Wimbley in the second episode, because it was all based around him and his Wimblin. I love his song, Here to There, that he sings at the start of the episode.
I love that. So I think I do a fair Wembley impression, and if I, like, feel like I've lost it, like, for some reason, like, Paul Simon songs are really good to do with Wembley, and, like, stuff that seems kind of, like, really inappropriate, like Cecilia is great for Wembley, but it's wildly inappropriate, like, in the middle verse or something.
Yeah. So, not Fraggle Rock appropriate.
Yeah. I was gonna do it, but I'm laughing too hard. Oh, okay. Now I'm all stage shy. I won't do it. But Here to There is, like, the one, if I think I'm losing it, then I can jump into that one real quick, because it's pretty easy.
Nice. Yeah.
Every time I think about saying the line that I want to say that's wildly inappropriate, I just start laughing too hard and I can't do it. Or if I know if I'm going to do it, it's going to sound awful, so.
You can do it at the end of the episode. Who's your favorite Fraggle out of the five?
Wembley.
Okay, we're the same. Yeah. I realize, like, Wimbley's my favorite, but I think Boober has the best lines. But Wimbley's, like, my favorite as a full-fledged character.
Yeah.
He's great.
Yep, he sure is. There's a lot of throwing Fraggles, which I like. Mm-hmm. Like, especially when Wimbley was, you know, tumbling over everybody. And kept just, like, tripping over people.
Do you mean in the first episode?
Yeah, in the first episode.
When Red Lake flies into the room and then he tumbles over her, then
so yeah, she flies in the room, so, like, you know, she's on the vine and then just, like, somebody just, like, throws a puppet across
pretty
the set.
Much.
And then she, you know, hits Wembley and or whatever, and then they're stumbling. Hey, have you seen Red? And falls on her.
Yeah.
So he doesn't, but I like that he doesn't just trip. So he falls. And then a Wembley puppet is lightly tossed, so you see him, like, tumble over into the room.
I want, like, that job on a, like, Muppet Fraggle set, like, Fraggle Tosser. Like,
yeah, really? That's a special credit, Fraggle Tosser. That sounds like a very, like, strange, I don't know why, but it's like a Scottish sports term.
Yeah.
It's like, that's some kind of very strange Scottish sport. Is Fraggle
I can
tosser.
See it. Fraggle Tosser.
We're crazy. Oh, the chime that happens when Matt says, "Traveling Matt." And then the chime goes and they all look at it. I love that gag so much. And there's
I like
always
that gag.
And like and especially like when it's in anything. When something happens, somebody says something happens, and then they're like, "What just happened? Why did that happen?"
Yeah.
I love that gag.
That's a good gag. Music?
Good music. All around.
I'm always just, like, genuinely impressed that they wrote, like, 2 to 3 songs for every episode.
I know. And I have, like, 5 CDs that I've, like, with the help of other people have compiled. Yeah. And it's pretty crazy.
And how they're so good. Just seems like an amazing feat to me.
I wrote one for Wembley and his musical Doozer Construction. Just some cute music. That's it. Just show off some doozers.
Yep.
It's such a nice little song.
Mm-hmm.
Bing, 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 bing.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, they're also all just, like, good songs.
And, like, they're catchy, and they're really, some of them are really pretty. Super pretty. Yeah. But they're all, like, just so good. It's ridiculous.
I mean, my favorite Fraggle songs in the first episode, yep. I love Follow Me.
Yep. And I'm like, man, I should have learned to play my ukulele by now. I want to learn that song on there.
That's the song I want to learn whenever I one day learn to play my guitar. Someday.
That you have.
Yes.
That'll probably be easier to play on guitar, but, you know.
It would help if I knew how to play my guitar.
That's true. You should probably do that first, and then try to figure it out. That would make things way easier.
Yeah, just a little.
There's a boober line that you didn't mention that I liked. We should crawl into the covers and moan and whimper.
Yeah,
crawl under
the covers.
One. I'm like, me every day, boober. Me every day. And I like how they all have, well, at least Matt, I guess, has a very healthy understanding of the postal system to get his postcards to that address.
Yeah.
He knows exactly how to address it and everything.
So
but
I totally
they don't know what a ball is.
I totally forgot how the postcards get to the Fraggles. I forgot that he, like, legit mails them.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, Matt does not understand, like, anything going on in the world around him.
He thought a fire hydrant was a person, but he knows how to get a stamp, you know?
And write a proper address.
Right. So like, he remembered to get the address before he left the house. So, you know, he probably didn't know how to do all that stuff. So he probably, you know, saw, like, oh, that's mail, you know, because they can read. I assume we've seen postcards. It's English. So, you know, he saw, like, you know, postal office or mail office or whatever, mailbox.
Yeah.
So he goes into the postal office. Some little old lady, probably bad vision, just thinks he's a very small man. And, you know, helps him out with this. He's very strange, so she's gonna explain it to him really slow.
Yeah.
She might even give him a stamp for free, just because he doesn't get it and he has no money.
I was gonna say, he sends more postcards in the future. Where does he get these stamps? Where does he acquire money? These are the questions.
Maybe he, like, trades found goods for stamps. Or, like, you know, say, you know, he finds, like, a very weird shell or something, and he sells it to somebody. So then he has, like, a dollar or whatever, and that's enough to buy you a couple stamps. Especially in 1983. You probably get, like, I don't know, 6 stamps for a dollar.
That's true.
Now, however much stamps were back then, I don't know. I wasn't born. So
me neither. I don't know.
I don't know.
I just have a hard time, like, believing that, like, Matt, like, took the time to, like, write down the address.
See, and you know what's fun is that me and you can talk about this crap, and we know, but, like, if we were watching the episode with somebody, and somebody would be like, but how can he get stamps? But how does a bear know how to drive a Studebaker? And we're like, shut up, it's just a show. That's what we would say.
Oh, yeah. Like, if someone tried to call BS, I'd be like, quiet, you.
Yeah,
you know nothing.
But we're doing a bit, so it's different.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about that. I was like, that's what my boyfriend would do.
I'm sure that the clear answer would be that, like, the creators of Fraggle Rock were like, kids aren't going to think about how Matt is mailing these postcards.
Yeah, that's not going to keep them up at night.
Unlike Julia and Laura.
Really? These are the things that we need the scholars to answer. No.
Right.
But that would be neat to, like, you know, we have, like, a very serious thing. That would be, like, the drama. That would be Matt's, like, death of a salesman.
Oh, my God.
It's his struggle to mail this one postcard to his nephew.
He mails a postcard, like, every episode.
Yeah, of course he does.
That's a lot of they add up.
Because he definitely doesn't travel all the way back to, you know, wherever they're at. Do they ever mention that? Like, where Doc's little cabin is?
No, they don't. His little workshop?
Yeah. And you know what's weird? Okay? Because we know he doesn't actually live there. I don't think.
I thought the workshop was like... Was it not in like his... Not his backyard?
Well, like his garage or something?
I thought that it was like... I got the impression it was like his garage or something.
Yeah.
The way that he talked about it, it sounded like he had had that workshop for a while. He had just not cleaned it up until then.
Oh.
So I had assumed it was like a garage.
What I thought was backyard. That he like had recently acquired it.
Oh, maybe.
For some reason. I don't know. Anyway. But I was like, so like when I was a kid, I would legit worry. I'm like, is he just like leaving the dog and then like, you know, driving back home? And then he comes back in and like, that's what, you know, to and from the office. Cause it is nighttime in some of those episodes, you know?
I don't know.
Oh, well.
Where Doc lives.
I would think like it's, you know, he has his house and then he, you know, just walks outside and walks down his yard and there's the workshop, I would think.
That's what I thought.
And that's what my grandpa had, something like that. Like he had a garage, like a very big garage in his backyard, and he was a carpenter, so that was his whole carpentry shop, and it was huge. It was like you would be able to fit like 2 school buses in there. That's how big it was. Which he built himself, obviously.
Yeah.
And yeah, he had like crazy, crazy dangerous carpenter stuff. And me and my brother would play in there every summer.
Wee!
like literally, there was like this weird, this big chain on a, what are those? There's a track in the ceiling. And we would swing on that and he would let us.
Good old fashioned family fun.
Yep. Yep, and we had a basketball hoop on the garage door, and all it was just a bucket nailed onto the garage door.
Oh my god.
Yeah. We had an actual basketball, though. It wasn't like, you know, that.
Yeah.
And so he could lower it for me, because I was small.
Aw.
I kind of think about Granddaddy's garage when I think about Fraggle Rock and Doc's garage, or... workshop or whatever.
It makes sense.
Yep. I don't know. Anything about the first episode?
Again,
I think it was a good episode for everybody, and for Gobo, he's all, you know, he's very Gobo, what's wrong? Well, I don't want to talk about it. And they're like, okay, we'll leave you alone. And how like Moki's very, you know, it's a very, very Moki thing to say. It's a good setup for her character, too.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, I wish somebody would talk to me after they leave.
Yeah. I mean, I wrote in my notes, like, nice introductory episode. Not a ton of the friend group, but good focus on Gobo and Uncle Matt's setup, while giving us a brief glimpse of Doozers, Fraggles, Gorgs, and Doc and Sprocket.
Yeah, you get, like, everybody. And then you get, like, Wimbly a lot in the next episode. So I wonder, I don't remember the next 2 episodes, but I wonder if they were more Boober and Red and Moki friendly, or if they were like, you know, kind of settling, like this Boober's the main character for this one, Red is the main character for this one kind of thing.
Probably. I remember from watching Fraggle Rock back in the day, that they did do a fairly decent job of splitting up episodes that were like about one Fraggle or like 2 of them having adventures or fights or whatnot. Yeah. And then they bring in more characters slowly, like Cotterpin.
Yeah, I don't think she came until like
season 2?
Much later, yeah.
She wasn't early on, but she came in eventually.
So yeah, that's all I really had for the first episode.
Hang on, I'm looking up the third and fourth episode. The third episode's Let the Water Run, which is a Red
That's
episode.
That's Red, yeah.
And then 4 is You Can't Do That Without a Hat, which is Boober?
That's Boober, yeah, that's Boober.
Yeah, then the next one is the 30-minute work week, which is a Moki? Wait.
I thought it was Wembley.
No, it looks like it's kind of everybody.
I don't know why.
Oh, it is a Wembley episode.
Okay, I thought so, because
he joins up with the volunteer fire department. But then Moki's is number six. Yeah, so basically they do a good job, like, slowly giving the Fraggles each an episode.
Yeah. And if it was, like, out of order, as we concurred before.
Yeah.
Then it could have been a bit different.
That's true.
Yep. Okay. That's established. Oh, man, I was going to say something now, but I forget what it was. Okay, so the second episode, I really like. And that, oh, I got a message. What? Nice. Hold on. Breaking news. This doesn't have anything to do with Muppets. Holy crap. Okay, Backstreet Boys are NSYNC are making a zombie western together. What decade is this, says Allison.
They're making a movie together?
A zombie western. I don't know what it is. This is all
like
the information.
Like a movie or like a music
I don't know. This
video.
Is all the information I have. Either one I would be good with. This is all the information I have, so. So if you guys are hearing this, go to your Googles right now and look that up, because I don't feel like doing it, because I'm looking up something else.
That's insane.
We'll find it later. I'm happy. That's some awesome news.
It's like it's 1997 all over again.
I would
Was
say
it
90.
Further back?
Well, no, because, like, No Strings Attached came out in, like, 99, I think, or 2000.
I'm just saying, they definitely were around when I was in second grade, because that's all anyone talked about, and I had to pretend to care.
Aww.
Because I was too busy secretly listening to show tunes.
Aww.
I was a nerd.
Yeah. I was, like, I was, like, exactly the right age when NSYNC and Backstreet Boys came out.
Yeah.
And Britney and all that. Now, like, now, you know, it's cool to like it again. Like,
yeah, because it's retro now, officially.
Ugh. Ugh, don't remind me.
Yeah, I know. I know.
It just makes me feel old.
Ugh.
So, the second episode.
It's a good episode. I love Wimbley. This episode focus on focuses
yeah.
on Wimbley.
I like his. He's so cute in it, too.
He's
and
adorable.
I wrote down. Wimbley being agreeable, like how agreeable he is, that's just so, like, little kid or, like, little brother to just, you know, little kid that's, like, maybe 2 or 3 years younger than their friend or their brother, whoever, that they want to, like, they want to be, like, so bad. So, like, everything is, like, you know, yeah, that's stupid. No, I mean, that other that other thing's stupid. Whatever. You know, they just have to agree all the time. And this is where we first see Ma and Pa Gorg as well.
Yeah, and I mean, Junior was in the first episode, but we didn't really get...
Yeah, we didn't know what that whole thing was.
Yeah, and so we got a better look at the Gorg family. I love Richard's Junior Gorg voice. It's amazing.
You know what worries me? Every time the Junior Gorg, like takes a fall... Or, like, just throw... Like, every time Rob just throws that whole thing on the ground, it makes me nervous. It makes me nervous, because there's so much, you know, stuff in the head that, like, what if, you know, he, like, landed wrong, and then not only are you, like, breaking something in there, but, like, potentially injuring your face somehow? It makes me nervous, even though, obviously, like, that probably didn't happen.
I mean, you know, it probably maybe
Rob Mills' face is perfectly normal now, still. But
oh yeah, his face is fine. Like, I mean, I'm sure, like, maybe like once or something, he like fell the wrong way and they had to fix up the face. But you know, he's a professional.
He wasn't like gravely injured. I still get nervous. I'm like, this happened before you were born. He's fine. I don't know. I'm just weird like that.
Yeah.
And when Sprocket does the thing where he just, like, he makes the two weird things and he, like, strangles himself. But, like, so that's funny. But then Doc says, Mr. Schimmelfinney does not look like that. I'm like, how is... I hope that's not originally what the line was.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that it was something different, and then, like, Jerry Parks was just, like, he said it. It just came out wrong, but it was so funny that they, like, kept it like that or something. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that they would write something that hilarious, but still, that is just so funny. He does not look like that.
Yeah, I didn't really, I don't know. I have, yeah, no idea.
What?
About that line.
You don't remember that at all? He does it, like, three times.
No, I remember it, but I didn't understand the response.
What do you mean?
Like, he doesn't look like that.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense, and that's what's
Yeah,
funny.
sorry. I kind of like, I was listening to you, but I zoned out, and then I tried to jump back into the conversation.
Oh, man.
Anyway,
You're great.
I forgot about Timelfinny's cat.
Oh, yeah.
I like that bit where he opens the door and the cat comes in and
Fluffinella.
is Fl yeah, I forgot that its name is Fluffinella, which is
Almost
such a
said
good name.
Taminella. I'm like, wasn't her name Taminella? I'm like, no, dummy. You just watched the episode like an hour ago.
Taminella is another
That's a different
Muppety
Muppet.
character
Yeah, I
from
was gonna say,
some
that's a
older
Muppet.
stuff.
And yeah, I got confused at the end because I didn't remember that he had a little band-aid on his nose.
Yeah, me too.
Wembley had some really good lines in here, but I don't know. I really like this episode for Wembley, just because like you get like he wants everybody to be happy. He goes out of his way to be agreeable just because if he thinks that people will be happy with it. But like, and you say like, oh well, that's kind of a pushovery characteristic. That's like can be kind of construed as weak in a
Yeah.
way. But then like you, and then towards the end when he's, you know, when he does the little speech to like, oh, they shouldn't be thumped, they deserve to live, blah blah. He says one thing that like it's so nice. It's like you know that this is genuinely who Wembley is. It's like, and Boomer knows special stuff that means a lot to him. And I'm like, oh, that's so cute to like say that I don't get your shit, bro, but you know what? If it's important to you, kind of
I
thing.
like that moment a lot where he's like listing
Yeah.
off the good things
He's
and he's
like,
like,
bleh.
and Boover,
Yeah.
he's got some good qualities
He
too.
knows special stuff.
I was like,
Like,
say
what's
that he does
special?
the laundry.
I know,
Talk
that's what
about
I was thinking.
his
That's what I was
laundry
thinking.
skillage.
Because it's been so skillish. It's been so long since I've seen it. That's what I was thinking. I was like, oh, he's gonna say like he's good at laundry or cooking or something. But no, it's just like special stuff. It means a lot to him. Okay, so this is the heavy crap that I was talking about, right? Everyone says, I guess some slavery feels like freedom. I didn't know what they were doing to me until they tried to do it to you. That is some deep shit.
Yeah, I mean that's earlier we were talking about like sadness in episodes, and I would still
Yeah.
argue there are sadder episodes of Fraggle Rock, but that is a very deep moment of the show, which I think the
Yeah.
show does time and time again.
Which I
So,
think,
yes.
yeah, and I think that could be like really helpful to kids that are being bullied and don't realize it. 'Cause that happened to me as a kid, that I was
Yeah.
hanging out. I was I okay, probably it's probably why Wembley's my favorite character, 'cause I relate to him so much. Was when I was a kid, there was always like these friends, I'm using air quotes that you can't see, that I wanted to get their approval so badly for whatever reason in my head. Because they were my friends and they seemed cool and you know whatever, and I wasn't as cool as them, so I w wanted their approval so much, but they were, you know, they were either making fun of me to my face or behind my back or just being awful to me, and I just, you know, kind of took it, just kind of like, oh well, that's mean, but you know, what am I gonna do, right? And I didn't occur to me that that was not cool at all. So, but you know, and if you see somebody, if you see that person doing that to somebody else, that's when it kind of, you're like, oh, that's what they're doing. I need to not let them do, why would I let them do that to that person? I need not to let them do that to me. So, I didn't get out of that until high school, really. Until like freshman year that I could figure that out. Which is sad, but you know, that's not that happens. So yeah, so that's like, I mean, that's some deep stuff, man.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a deep moment of the episode, hands down.
I just thought about that just now.
Do we want to talk about the technology, kind of like we touched on earlier?
Oh
And
yeah.
then,
So,
yeah, the technology used in Fraggle Rock is great.
Crazy. It's crazy good.
I mean, which isn't surprising because Jim always wanted to use like whatever like the best technology of the time was.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the technology used in the Gorg's faces is incredible.
Yeah. And that, and I think that, well, was that the first time they used it? I think it was the first time.
What came first, Fraggle Rock or Labyrinth?
Labyrinth, or, well, I think they were around the same time, because I distinctly remember Brian Henson wearing a Fraggle Rock shirt on the set of Labyrinth. When
okay,
he's, like,
cause...
in the pit. Or maybe it was Karen. I don't know, it was one of them. Somebody was wearing a Fraggle Rock shirt.
Because they definitely use the same technology that they use for Hoggle
yeah.
and,
I just thought
and Labyrinth.
I just thought of that. So I think it was around the same time. I can't remember. I keep saying 1983. I could be totally wrong.
Labyrinth came out in 1986.
No, I meant for Fraggle Rock.
And Fraggle Rock started in 1983. So
Okay. I was good. I was right.
Okay. So that makes sense because, I mean, while the Gorgs' face technology is very impressive, like, I think Hoggle's is a bit more intricate and complex, and so that makes sense that that would be, like, kind of a step up after the Gorgs.
Yeah. Yeah, and, I mean, and it's very funny because it's, like, that's the technology that they use for the Gorgs, and then the other, like, major technological breakthrough type thing was for the Doozers. So you got the very big things and the very tiny things. I don't know
yeah.
why I like that.
Tiny little robot puppets.
I know, they're so cool.
And they're little cute
They are
and
robots.
Fat.
They're little robots.
They are. And they use green screen, as we talked on earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is unfortunately a little obvious, but still cool.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's. I think it's funny.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah.
You know, like Gobo's hair. There's like just that purple glow
around his
in
hair.
The,
yeah.
In the opening, and then like when Wembley's. I don't know. I can't remember what Wembley was doing where he has that too.
He has like his hair.
I thought
like
it,
has like a
green
glow when like he's in. In the Doozer, not the Doozers, the Gorg scenes in the second episode.
Oh.
During certain parts, because during those scenes, they fluctuate between, like, the full-sized Fraggle puppets and the tinier ones to go
yeah.
along with the Gorgs, yeah.
See, and the tiny Fraggle puppets, I mean, they worked well for their purpose, but they were kind of, they weren't quite as, you know...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're definitely not as animated, and you can tell
right.
that they're not, it's not the same as, like, Jerry or
yeah.
Dave, like, fully operating
it's,
one of the
it's
puppets.
Very, it's very different, but, you know, but
yeah.
it's good.
Well, do you have anything else to talk about on Fraggle Rock? I used up pretty much all of my notes, and...
Not really. Okay, I do, I kind of, okay, so, well, I do kind of want to read this, that I posted this after Jerry Nelson died. In 2012,
yeah.
which I actually posted that this I posted what I want to read, which is kind of long, but I posted it 3 years ago today, basically, because Jerry Nelson died 3 years ago yesterday. But yesterday
yes,
being August 23rd, so
yeah.
which we didn't want to date things, but sometimes that happens, and we're discussing it, and it's relevant, and hopefully we'll get this out in some manner of time. In which it is still kind of relevant, whatever. I want to read this thing, because I liked it. So, I just called this Remembering Jerry Nelson. I think it's a little strange that my little cousin River, whom I'm babysitting today, asked completely on his own if we could watch Fraggle Rock. I got him and his older brother Cliff into watching it several months ago, but whenever I expressed interest in watching it when I was over, they would be like, nah, let's watch Avatar, the show, not the movies. River also asked to watch Labyrinth while we were finishing up The Secret of Nim, which Paul Williams wrote the theme for, and Will Wheaton voiced, like, one of the brothers in. Cliff was at camp, so the house was remarkably calm. River wanted to eat lunch and then go outside for bubbles, and the back inside because of mosquitoes, finish lunch, and finally, oh, Fraggle Rock, please! He's 4, and I can't read, and he can't read, I can read, he can't read just yet, so every episode I clicked on... In Netflix menu, he exclaimed, I want that one. That's a good one. Not seeing any of these episodes before. I ignored him and went right for the episode where Moki joins the minstrels. He glanced at the TV while the theme bounced along. He pulled out the car's Legos, which I would end up building, but he could hand me the pieces I showed him and take credit when everything was finished. Candace's flute began, and River's head whipped around. I didn't say anything, but I felt proud and like I had done something good in the world just by convincing the boys, this is a good show, I promise you'll like it. Sometime last year. River finally looked away when the song was over, but the Legos never held his full attention when there were singing Fraggles on the screen. We didn't actually watch any Gobo Heavy episodes. The second episode where Marjorie is moved and it changes her, I didn't particularly pay attention to it either, but I don't regret not having done so. I babysit him tomorrow and we'll watch some more Fraggle Rock. I'll find a Gobo-centric good one, or three. River is nearly the same age I was when Jim Henson died. I doubt that Jerry's characters will be on the cover of Time, honestly, but it's a strange feeling to know that River won't know Jerry in the present tense. Maybe he'll latch on to Muppets like me and my brother did, and he'll know the performers by name and be blogging about them in 20 years. Maybe he won't. I sincerely doubt he'll remember when we watched Fraggle Rock in the days surrounding Jerry's death, and that he asked me, and not the other way around, 20 years from now. I don't remember Jim Henson dying. I knew he was gone, I think. I remember watching the Jim Henson Hour and thinking how amazing Jim was, and how friendly and how great getting a hug with him from him would be. And how awesome that white lion was. Death usually brings awareness and appreciation, either to someone's work or to life in general. A lot of people say that the dead deserve to know, while they were still living, how much they were loved. We're lucky, us fans, because I'm sure Jerry knew. We don't have to worry about that. I think we'll see a lot of the count in coming days, and I hope we can appreciate that a lot of people will discover, even if it's only for a 3-minute news blurb, the man we all knew was there the whole time, just below frame. My favorite tiny memory of Jerry is a very personal one. I never got to meet him, but I did direct message him on Twitter when I discovered that he had one. I asked him a question that he answered, and though he didn't know the info I was looking for, I thanked him for it anyway. You're welcome, Sunshine, he replied. Jerry Nelson called me Sunshine. And no, I will never stop telling people that, not for as long as I live. Jerry was fantastic, a fantastic and moving performer, terrific singer, and someone that I will never, ever forget. He was the best smoky-voiced ex-beatnik and the sweetest 6-year-old frog. From the all-wise and knowing pile of trash to a Fraggle who thought he was pretty wise and really cunning, and was usually kicked down a peg by the end of the episode. But boy, did he have some groovy hats. But most of all, best of all, Jerry was cooler than you, and that was awesome. I really like that.
That's great.
Nah. So.
I think that's probably a good note to end on.
Yeah. Here it is. Live Journal Entry, 2006. Fraggle Rock, Deeper Than You Think. See, that was my title. Okay, so this is what I wrote. It's only a paragraph. It's very short. Wembley is enslaved by Gorgs, knocked unconscious by Boober, and for a few minutes has everyone in the rock head over heels in love with him. Gobo becomes trapped in outer space, knocked unconscious in the Gorgs' garden, suffers a mental breakdown reevaluating his position in life, and breaks his leg getting thumped by Junior Gorg. Red has an identity crisis and steals a magic pipe. Boober has a breakdown, yells at everyone, gets trapped in a cave with Red. Moki nearly forces the Doozers to move out, fakes her own death inadvertently, and Red and Gobo mourn her loss. And that's just the first season. And I have another episode to watch. Also, the most hilarious nuances usually come from Dave Goals. I love Dave. That was it.
Nice.
That was all that was.
Good.
But I'm like, holy crap, because I remember watching it, like, I was in the computer room before I had my laptop, and I remember watching it and just like, okay, there's like all the, like, I've watched every episode in the first season almost, and I think I did it in like 2 days or something, but I'm like, holy crap, like, I don't remember Moki faking her death, I don't remember, like, all this crazy crap that happens to everybody.
Yeah. I don't either.
I was like, that needs writing down. So I guess that's stuff we will explore in the future.
Yes, definitely.
In future times, in future episodes, a future of these episodes, but also other episodes of episodes. You know what I mean?
Yes.
My throat hurts. Tell us what you want us to do next episode.
Woot.
And then we might do it, or maybe we'll have come up with something else, and then we'll take your thoughts into consideration.
We'll
or
see.
Whatever. We'll do what we do, you know. You know, what happens, whatever. I don't know. I'm tired. I'm so tired. My eyes hurt. Okay.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
And that's the secret of frog kissing. And you can do it too if you just listen. Just slow down, turn around, bend down, and kiss you, a frog. Ribbit, ribbit.